Knives Out for President Biden. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News.
I'm the most qualified person to run for president. I beat him once, and I will beat him again.
The president at a news conference in D.C. saying he will not drop out of the race against former President Trump unless someone proves to him he cannot win. Three more House Democrats last night and another this morning say he should step down. Jim Himes from Connecticut says President Biden has a top 10 legacy.
But if you don't look at this in a cold, hard way, you will be complicit in Donald Trump's second presidency.
South Carolina House Democrat Jim Clyburn says the president should stay in.
He has one of the best minds that I've ever been around. And the people who've been around him will tell you that.
Top House Democrat Hakeem Jeffries confirms he spoke with the president last night to pass along what members are telling him. A new PBS NPR Marist poll of registered voters has President Biden with 50% support to former President Trump's 48. A majority think Trump will win, though, and think neither candidate should be the nominee. Former President Trump's legal team is asking a judge in New York to overturn his criminal conviction and dismiss the case.
They argue that the trial was, quote, tainted by evidence that shouldn't have been allowed due to the recent Supreme Court ruling. The former president became the first ex-commander-in-chief to be convicted of a crime when a jury found him guilty in May of falsifying records to cover up a potential sex scandal with an adult film star. Judge Merchan says he will rule on the request on September 6th and set sentencing for September 18th, saying, quote, if such is still necessary. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office has until July 24th to respond to the filing. In New York City, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
After instructions from another judge in New York this morning, the jury starts deliberations today at New Jersey Senate Democrat Bob Menendez's bribery trial. He's on trial with two New Jersey businessmen. Another pled guilty and testified against the others. America's listening to Fox News.
Terry Padgett, the second enlisted in the U.S. Navy and deployed multiple times to Iraq and Afghanistan until Jerry was catastrophically injured in an improvised explosive device blast. Now, Jerry received a new smart home thanks to our friends at the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Now, the home is in the foundation's Let Us Do Good Village. It's in Florida, and Jerry now lives more independently thanks to the specially adaptive technologies. Commit to $11 a month, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
A very happy Friday to all of you from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. A brother and sister from California are in jail after Yuma police say they were involved in organized thefts of several local retail stores. Police say the duo were involved in 14 separate Walmart theft incidents in California and Arizona, totaling just under $20,000 in stolen items. Voters in the city of Yuma.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. Welcome to Money Talk.
Prop 420 failed to pass last year. Now, if passed this year, the amendment would raise the mayor's salary from $12,000 to $45,000. Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols says the current salaries were set 30 to 40 years ago, which seemed to make sense at the time. A special election on the amendment takes place on November 5th. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Welcome, Yuma. great start there to the morning. That'll get you going.
It's going to wake
That's
you.
Right. That's
little
right.
Mama dancing here. Me and Tim Avila here dancing away. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Hope everybody's up and at 'em, having a great Friday. Beautiful weather out there, especially in the morning.
Yeah, until it gets to be 114.
Yeah. Hey, sure. That's a break from the other week, so hey, we'll take it, right? It's cooling off.
That's right.
Yeah, it's cooling off.
It's positive. It may be.
I had my refrigerator in there. Do you have a refrigerator in your garage, Tim?
Actually, it's the back patio.
Oh, back patio.
Yeah.
Okay.
My back patio. So
I think people in Yuma, most everybody has either like a refrigerator in their garage or back patio or something. So my refrigerator in the garage defrosted, and my wife was freaking out, and she's taking everything to the other one. Yeah, so she had a guy come look at it, and he's like, this refrigerator's fine, but these newer refrigerators, it wasn't real new, but it still has the electronics. He says that the heat, it's like having your computer or phone in the heat. Because, you know, those garages get pretty warm. So they overheat, and so the display will mess up or change the temperatures in there in the refrigerator and not be working right. And that's what happened. So he says, turn off your fridge during the summer if you have it in a garage.
Okay.
And then you can fire it back up when it cools off, but it's just going to ruin the condenser, and it messes it up. And I kind of knew that, but I thought, I've had them in the garage before, and they've been fine. The older refrigerators are actually better for that.
Yeah, they don't have the electronics and computer chips and all that stuff. Sensitive to the heat.
That's what I'm fighting right now. Now we just have one refrigerator that's chocked full.
Darn. First world problem.
Huh? I know. It is, man. That's a little bit of a problem from the heat coming out. So how you doing? Heard you had a little seminar last night. You got another one coming up Saturday. And this is George Davis Sr., by the way, if you didn't hear the introduction there. And
yep, and this is Tim Avila.
Yes.
He's
one of my business partners at Yuma Investment Group.
That's right.
We have our investment fiduciary advisors there.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Yes, we have our essential seminar for soon-to-be retirees. So that applies to a lot of people. We had a seminar last night, and we have another one this Saturday at 10 a.m. at our office.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone interested can call the office, 329-1700. Reserve a spot. It's free, open to the public. A lot of great information. Specifically centering on getting a financial plan.
Okay.
And making sure that you have a roadmap to success during retirement. Because the worst thing that can happen is you retire, your budget right now is great, you're buying carne asada and cold drinks, but you're not really factoring in inflation for like the next 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then down the road, maybe you can't afford the carne asada and cold drinks, and you end up having beans and tortillas for your retirement. And then you're like, hey, what happened?
And which there's nothing wrong with beans and tortillas, but
that's right.
You don't get your carne, that is could be a little bit of a
missing out
problem.
On your protein. That's,
yes, it
yep.
is.
Yep.
My son would freak out with no carne asada.
Mine would
too. He's addicted.
Go ahead.
And so, you know, that's what we want folks to understand, is to make sure they have a clear roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
Just like now people use their phone and Google Maps and it draws them the line exactly where to go, what speed to go at each step of the way. And that's what the financial plan allows us to do. We take in income, what your investment assets are, 401k, et cetera, if you have a pension, Social Security payments, et cetera, and see if some of those will keep increasing over time, cost of living increases, or they don't have a cost of living increase, and getting those invested and growing as well so they can keep funding your lifestyle and making sure that all that will allow you to have the lifestyle you want for the entirety of your retirement and hopefully leave a little something for the loved ones.
Yeah. The one thing I really like about the financial plan, and like you're talking about in your seminar, is the takes away the emotion. Hopefully, if you listen to your financial advisor and take, you know, what they're saying is, and that roadmap that you're taking, it takes away that emotion of the roller coaster that the economy and the market can be. You know, ultimately, the market's historically always been higher, but we do have some times, you know, after the pandemic.
Absolutely.
Things were looking good, and then we had the, you know, the COVID come out, and the market dropped 18%. And people get emotional, and they get looking at their money, and they'll either pull out when the market's down, which is one of the worst things that you could do, And now the market's been doing well, and everyone's talking. You talk to your neighbor, and their 401k is doing good. Well, now you better get back in. So they buy low, you know, they buy high, sell mm-hmm. low, which is the opposite they want to do. As long as we have a plan and we're following that path, you know, and with the three, four bucket strategy, whichever one you implement, which we do at Yuma Investment Group, right. It helps away take that emotion and those mistakes that can be made or which are critical in retirement.
Yeah, because we want to diversify those funds and have those funds going at different speeds,
mm-hmm.
as we call it. We want to have a bucket that's conservative or kind of low speed,
especially
low
if
risk,
you're taking income
return. Mm-hmm. Yep, and then a moderate bucket with a little more speed, and then a growth bucket for long term. Use down the road, because mm-hmm. as we're taking money out, we want to be building money back in to replace it.
Correct. And everyone's felt the bite of inflation lately with mm-hmm. the, you know, especially at the grocery store, which is not going to go away. I hate to say it, even if inflation comes down, just hope that it stays where it's at. It's already reset. But you need that little bit higher speed. I compare it to going 60. Let's say the speed limit's 60, and I'm going 60 miles an hour. I'm kind of moderate, just cruising along with traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get somewhere. I'm pushing the pedal down a little bit, you know, 70 or go pushing the envelope there. Then I'm you know, a little more aggressive. That's going to help me keep up with inflationary to, you know, keep up with that carne asada like you talked about. And then, you know, if I'm going 50, 40 miles an hour, more conservative, that's our bucket one, where we're taking income out, and then the higher speed, once it, you know, has those returns and keeps up with inflation, we can replenish the more moderate and the conservative bucket. So
exactly.
Yeah. One thing that the market's been pretty good this year. You know, we've had a good market.
Yes, Tim, thank heaven.
And Carson, which we mentioned at the beginning, Carson Wealth, that's our accredited investment fiduciary. They're the advisors that give us, the advisory firm that gives us that fiduciary responsibility, our registered investment advisors. They came out with an outlook. It's called the
mid-year outlook.
Yeah, Eyes on the Prize, which to me is kind of neat because obviously the Eyes on the Prize, in the front picture, they've got the guy, you know, with the binoculars and stuff. So like you're talking about in your financial planning and your seminar, is that's what you want to do. You know, that prize is retirement and making sure that you have enough money that you're not going to outlive your money, and that your success rate is up in the higher, you know, highest percent you can get. We want our clients to be 80% or higher success rate when it comes to the retirement. And they do 1,000 different scenarios with this Monte Carlo simulation that lets us know that, which is neat because it kind of historically goes back and it gives you different, the way that market has acted, whether it's been a great market when you retire. You have had, you know, some people have retired and had an immediate recession, or inflation's run hot, or Social Security has, you know, hasn't had the COLAs like. So you never know. There's a lot of different variables that are there that we don't foresee, and so we try to roll all those up into the financial plan.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Correct.
So far this year to date, the Dow Jones is up 5.5%. That's a pretty good start to the year. The NASDAQ, which is the
all the tech
heavy,
companies,
tech-heavy companies.
All the NVIDIAs and everybody else.
Yeah,
there.
They've done well. They're up 21%. The S&P 500 is up 17%.
Yeah.
You mentioned NVIDIA. You know, I was reading in the Carson, you know, mid-year outlook. NVIDIA just itself, because you think about the S&P 500, there's 500 stocks in there.
Yep.
One stock, NVIDIA, has accounted for 4.5% of the return.
Wow.
I know. I never seen that before. It's just nuts. So 18%, well, for that, what is that for? Almost 25% of just that is from one stock. So that's really been on fire. Some of the sectors, communication services are doing real well. Information technology, energy's okay. It's up about 9.5%. The only sector that's down is real estate. I don't know if you knew that, but, you know.
Yeah, with interest rates still being high and everything, you know, not as easy to get buyers in, qualify.
Mm-hmm.
payments are higher than most people want.
Yeah, so
all those factors are giving downward pressure.
Downward pressure on the real estate is down about 2.5%. The one I was a little surprised at, I didn't think financials would be doing that good, but they're up 11%. So the banks and financials aren't doing too bad. But anyway, so we'll dive down into this mid-year outlook here. When we come back, we're going to take our first break. I think Russ is ready to rock and roll. So right back, Money Talk, AM560 KBLU.
Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Everyone's trying to get it right, get it right. Everybody's working for the weekend.
Welcome back, Yuma Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Russ is on fire with his music. That's a good start.
Yes, I love it. It's great.
We are working for the weekend.
Trying to stay awake, man.
Are you struggling today?
Good job. It's working.
It is working. This weekend I'm going to Seligman, Arizona.
I don't even know where that is.
You ever been to Seligman?
No.
Is there a prison there or something? Or?
I don't think so. But there are prairie dogs.
Oh.
Or groundhogs.
Are you going hunting?
Yes. Awesome. Yuma Rod and Gun Club has an annual Seligman hunt where...
Okay. Seligman.
Yes.
And they're probably double the population of Seligman.
Yeah, they probably are. And the ranchers get upset because they, you know, they burrow and they make these holes and their cows get caught up in there.
Oh, you're doing the ranchers a favor.
Big favor.
Yeah.
And it's just too many of them. But my wife doesn't see it that way. She's not real happy that...
Don't take her.
She's not going.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a guy's trip. Yeah.
Guy's
just
trip.
22s. She's like,
I'm only 6 weeks into the honeymoon. I can't do a guy's trip yet. You know, we're okay.
Well, you know, Russ, I have some advice for you.
What's the advice? I need it.
Oh,
I think I can talk about this on the radio.
I hope so.
This is from Tom when I first got married.
Okay.
He says, you got to set your boundaries early.
Okay.
You know, if you're going to be on a guy's trip, just tell her, hey, I do guy's trip. You knew that I did guy's trips, and I'm going on a guy's trip.
This is why I never take advice from Tom.
I know.
You know, financial advice I'll take, but yeah. I didn't either.
I waited a while, too. I waited like 22 years. I used to go on guy's trips in Idaho.
Funny, it sounded like Tom. Really?
He's been successful in his marriage. They've been married a long time.
Yes, they have. Absolutely.
Yes, he has. I don't know that it would work universally.
Yeah, it doesn't work for everybody.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Anyway, so, a little 22s and see if we can find some groundhogs. So each year, Carson Wealth Management, they have their, obviously, their annual outlook, and that comes out in January. Now they do a mid-year one, too, which... I think is real interesting. And it's good. It's got some really good content. We send it out to our clients.
Correct.
And they can read it. And
it goes out via email.
Via email. How about if you're a non-client, like a prospect, can you get onto the site? I was asking. I ran out of time when I was leaving the office. Can you get onto the site and see it that way?
If they've given us their email and phone number, we put them in the system, and then it will automatically add them to the list unless they tell us, you know, don't put me on.
Yeah, okay. So if they're interested in this mid-year outlook from Carson, then
Carson sends out a link because they do an actual live webinar.
Yeah, they do.
So they can click the link and then watch it at their own convenience, and then they'll see the whole show live.
Yeah. They do a real good job with the communication and, you know, what they see with
it's
the
fantastic market.
Yeah, with Bert White in there now, which came over from LPL. He's great. And they have that Facts versus Feelings podcast every Thursday I listen to. But, you know, Tim, there's things in, you know, we as humans kind of think about what's coming up next. We got short-term memories, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Some is fill you in a little bit here and see if all these things you remember.
Okay.
Well, this is over like the last 7 years. So for this mid-year outlook, whether you're telling us, but the last 7 years, we had a near bear market in 2018. You remember that?
Okay.
Pretty close. Now, bear market is 20% lower or not. So 2018, the first Fed rate hikes in over a decade. So when they started raising
rates,
that hadn't happened for 10 years. I thought that was pretty interesting too. The one before the pandemic, they had a bear market in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 20%.
COVID.
A once in a century pandemic.
Yep. COVID. Yep.
One of the most contentious elections in our nation's history.
The last one.
Generational high inflation. That one's even, you know, people remember that because that's newer. And the most aggressive Fed rate hiking regime in 40 years.
Yes, sir.
Another bear market in 2022, okay, along with the worst years ever for bonds, ever, 13% down. A war in Ukraine, which is still going on. Let's see. And then another a conflict in the Middle East, okay? And yet, over those 7 years, all those things that I just said, the price index for the Dow, the grandfather of all indexes, doubled from 20,000 on January 5th of 2017 to 40,000 as of this May.
Wow.
Yeah.
Doubled.
Doubled. That's nuts, man.
So that's huge.
Dow just doubling from 20,000 to 40,000. Yeah. 7 years ago, I didn't remember it being 20,000. I thought that was pretty incredible. With a total return of 135%, including dividends.
That's impressive. Fantastic.
Yeah, with everything going on. Just shows how, you know, resilient the market is. And I guess
correct.
The market, there's certain things, the economy and how things affect the market. But you keep your eye on the prize. You have financial planning instead of letting all those things that happened in the last 7 years get to you and get emotional about it. You just stay the course, make sure you're diversified, make sure you're putting enough money away to save for retirement. All those things are really the most important.
So. Yeah, like we talk with clients, we tell them this is a marathon. A long, slow run. It's not a sprint.
I haven't trained for a marathon. I've only trained for a sprint.
Oh. Well, bless you. But now we get you. Now we get you retrained.
Retrain them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trained.
Yeah. No. Physically, I'm not trained for a marathon. But financially, yeah, my brain's ticking that way.
There
so that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, that because we get clients all the time that are asking us, "Hey, this is happening in the world," you know. Is it time to panic? Do we need to pull out of the market and everything like that? And what this is showing us is no. The answer is no.
Yeah.
Maybe we adjust.
Been no.
Yeah. Maybe we adjust for a short while, you know, move assets around, et cetera, be prudent. But full-fledged fear, panic, pulling out everything, going to cash, you know, historically, that's never been the right move.
Correct.
It's stay the course. Diversify, adjust assets.
And people think that the adjusting applies to when the market's down. It also applies when the market's up.
Right.
Or neutral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like right now, Carson's mid-year outlook, a lot of the asset classes, large U.S. growth and technology has been the leader. You hear the Magnificent Seven that's really doing well this year.
Correct.
But then there's some other asset classes, value, which hasn't really kept up with it, whether that's small value or mid-cap value. That's an area that they like right now to be taking some of those profits from the high flyers that have done really well and driven the market this year to get into some value that's still about 2% below what they expect is like what they would call neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So in real estate, they're finding a little bit of value in real estate, financials, energy. So there's some different sectors, developed markets, you know, not including China. But, you know, there's a lot of things out there. So even when the market's doing well, you still should be looking at, you know, moving some of that outside.
Correct.
Or moving to some different asset classes. All right. So here's some here's an outlook, their outlook at a glance. So here's some of the key forecasts. The economy continues to see a solid rate of expansion with low risk of a recession.
Great news.
What do you think, Russ?
I disagree.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Someone's going to disagree.
But mine's not a financial one. Mine's emotional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I don't see any factors that we're working on to create a stoppage of this recession. I mean, I don't see any movements being made. I see inflation still going crazy. I mean, prices at the grocery stores are still going up. Prices, everything's going up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that the politicians have done anything to put the brakes on it. I mean, if there is, let me know what it is.
Okay. I will do that, my friend. We are targeting a total return for the S&P 500 of 17 to 20% in 2024.
I think because of inflation, yeah.
Yeah. Inflation can help.
Oh, it does.
Drive the market.
Yeah. Everything goes up 10%, that value goes up 10% usually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate Bond Index will outperform short-term treasuries in the second half of the year.
No, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
This is Carson's mid-year outlook. All right. So the major views they have is the economy remains resilient, supported by job gains, income growth, and a strong consumer balance sheet. Inflation will continue to fall. Here you go, Russ. And the Fed will begin cutting rates in the second half of the year.
That might come to
based
pass.
Based on the case of two cuts in 2024.
There's not going to be two cuts in 2024.
They're thinking there's going to be two in this year. You said one before the elections.
Well, there was going to be zero, and then they just come up with this number of 0.2 or something for last month, and which I don't believe. But
are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Inflation rate.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I don't think so. But
so the Fed's view of neutral rate will be revised upward, keeping us in a higher, longer rate for a longer rate environment for longer. So the Carson people do think that this inflation is going to stay sticky and we are going to be in a higher interest rate for longer.
Yeah.
But they still think that the two cuts are going to be coming this year.
Even if we have to go longer.
Yes.
Sounds like a political strategy more than a financial strategy.
You know, people say that, but I mean, Powell.
I don't know.
I think Powell's a pretty sharp cookie and stuff. I just don't see the Fed doing that as far as for a presidential election. People say it. I don't see it. I disagree with that one.
Well,
that they do it to try to benefit one party or the other. Because the market, if you look historically over the last 80 years, the market has done better when a Democrat's been in office for the White House. Okay. You might find that surprising.
No.
Some people probably didn't like Obama. Market did excellent. Some people didn't like Trump. Market did excellent.
Okay.
People didn't like Biden. Market did excellent. But really where it matters is the House and the Senate, Russ.
Right.
They like gridlock. They don't like one side or the other, the extremities where there's a lot of uncertainty. Because the market knows that right now, you've got, 49-51 and, a 4 or 5 seat discrepancy between the House, the Republicans and Democrats. So a lot of things that have to get done, infrastructure, what other things did they pass? At least those things people agree on, and you're not getting a lot of.
I'll talk to my fact checker about this and verify it all, but right now, the way the economy is in the United States, the small businesses are getting hammered. We have more bankruptcies. We have more things like that, which is typical with a Democrat. During Trump, small business was thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hurting the market because the market's controlled by large business. So then when they get hammered with a lot of growth and a lot of success that's across the board, the big boys and the Walmarts and all those guys aren't going to do everything they could have done. But when his moms and pops all closed down and Walmart's the only one left, yeah, they're going to do better. So I don't disagree that the market does better during Democrats because they hate small business.
So these points that you bring up, Russ, you should read this mid-year outlook. It talks about small business, larger corporations, how they're affected. Specifically, it goes into specifics. Pretty neat. All right. Another major view, this young bull market will continue, supported by primarily by earnings growth, because earnings growth, corporations.
Yep.
Economic strength will support more cyclical stocks, but they'll be catch up for the undervalued areas, kind of like what we talked about with large with small value and mid value. Bonds will be more resilient in the second half of the year as the Feds begin to cut rates. And historically, it's been a good time to shift to shorter-term holdings towards more traditional bond allocations. But they also like diversifying asset classes beyond bonds are attractive. So that would be gold, commodities, things like that to help fight that inflationary time. So, all right, we're up against our second break here, Russ. We'll be right back. Money Talk, AM560 KBLU.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
Saturday says, hey, darling, I can remember when you could start with love. Oh, but ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America?
See you, baby.
Keep going, George.
Perfect for 4th of July music and everything, you know?
Welcome back, Money Talk. AM560 KBLU. I got to give you an A for the music today, Russ.
All right. I'm
on point. So.
That's one thing I got right today.
That's right. You're nailing it.
So the American Pyrotechnics, that's a tough one. The American Pyrotechnics Association estimates that sales of consumer fireworks rose to a record $2.4
billion. I'm going to have to check the emergency room and see if that's true.
Up from $2.2
billion
in 2023.
I don't know. I don't doubt it. I was shocked at 4th of July, Independence Day. I met my daughter at the Sears parking lot, the old Sears parking lot. She got out of work too late to make it to the Civic Center.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So we went in there, and I was shocked at how many, I mean, it's crowded, but so many people in there setting off their own fireworks. I mean, the big stuff, it's not legal. Yeah, it's not legal. And they had these regular fireworks, rockets that you see where you send a rocket off and it explodes, and it has a big thing like the professionals. Only these were like a 20% that size or something, a little smaller. But they angled them so it went right over the tops of everybody's heads and then exploded in the parking lot. And I'm like, these guys are, someone's going to get hurt bad.
Yeah.
You know, this is not good.
No, that's not good.
No. I mean, I don't know. Emergency room had a lot of burns, but they do every year have some. You know, there's some even sparklers.
Yeah,
you know,
you don't mind people going out and having fun.
No,
shooting them straight up in the air. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, but when you're shooting them over top of
it, well,
it's cars. I mean, it's people in cars all together, all over, and they're setting these big fireworks off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness. But sparklers, even, they're 1,200 degrees, and you hand them to a 2-year-old.
Yeah, they are hot.
Nothing could happen.
No. No potential for harm or disaster here. No.
I live in the dunes there in that neighborhood. There were some houses launching off the big ones, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, my poor dogs. I mean, these guys would launch off the ones that would just make just no sparks, just no nothing, just boom.
I make my dog light them. You know, I don't want a dog to
like shake the house. I'm kind of freaking out. My mother-in-law's underneath the table taking cover.
Yeah, poor dogs during that time.
All right, Money Talk AM560 KBLU. We're going to talk a little bit of financial here. But yeah, that's, you know, $2.2 billion in fireworks sale. That's financials. That's stimulating the economy.
That's right.
Tim Avila here. He's one of my business partners there at Yuma Investment Group.
Yes, sir.
Advisor.
Good morning.
8 years?
Yep, going on eight.
8 years. That's great. October, I'll be 19.
Hey, look at you. Yeah, almost ready for
years.
Your 20th anniversary.
Keep
almost.
Going. It's going to be a career, man.
Yes. It will be a career. Plus, my birthday's coming up July 28th, the big 5-9, Russ.
Wow. That's not even old yet.
No, but it makes me think more about retirement and starting to try to at least plan and decide what age. Because my wife's 5 years younger than me, and she's been in the school district, you know, as a counselor for 22 years. So she's fortunate to have Arizona State retirement, so she's got that pension system.
And
she keeps looking at her points and trying to ask me, because she'll always forget, hey, how do I fix my points again, and when am I at 80, and when can I retire? And here I am, you know, I have to be on her health insurance, and so I'm like, what am I going to do if you retire at 55?
George, I'll be 67 in September.
Correct.
There ain't no way. I enjoy what I do.
Yeah, and you do it well.
I like it.
That's right.
And it's not like I'm digging holes in a coal mine.
And you're not out in 100 and
no.
whatever degree.
I'm sitting here in my shorts with no shoes on.
Yes. Life's not too bad. You enjoy your work.
Right.
Your health
enjoy.
Is fine. You're not. Yeah. So
well, and
you're a perfect candidate to wait till 70 in your Social Security, like we talked about.
Which I'm doing. But because I'm old. I'm going to the gym. I'm watching my. I mean, I said, well, I better start working on extending this life thing.
There you go.
I gave up heroin for this, you know. No, I never did heroin. But,
but no, when you're young,
better choices.
You think you're going to live forever. You make the poor choices. I did the same, and people do the same. Last night, I went to the Yuma County 20 under 40.
Okay.
Of course, I'm. 20
way
over.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
20 under 40 where they recognize, you send in a
nomination
form to maybe a bit. There's teachers there that won. There's business, you know, Jackson from he's an advisor in our office. He won and, you know, some other, a farmer won. So, but it's people under 40 in Yuma that are, you know, making an impact, whether that, you know, with business, with their career, with helping the community, you know, Rotary, whatever. And I think there was 74 nominations and 20 make it. So 20 there. So they come up on stage and we were a sponsor. So I was handing out the picture and they would do something. It was a neat event.
Nice.
But I got a chance to talk and I told them the biggest thing the thing that I hear the most when I'm doing financial planning, I'm sure Tim can attest to this, is people always say, I wish I'd have started earlier.
Absolutely.
George, why didn't I start saving earlier?
Yeah, and it's never too late.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. Because I wish I'd have started earlier.
Really?
I was 40 when I started saving for retirement. So I always tell people, do as I say, not as I do.
I'm thinking about starting another career.
No.
wow, ambitious.
Well, I just ran into a guy who was 10 years older than me. And he was working this weekend in a shop.
Wow.
You know. And that's
good for him.
Yeah, that's Desert Olive Farms.
Okay.
Because he loves it.
Ah.
That's awesome.
But he grows olives and makes olive oils and products and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, and he's had like
five. Here in Yuma?
Yeah.
Where's this at?
Well, he's in Imperial County, but the, but the store is in Yuma.
Okay.
It's on Main Street, right on the side of the theater, you know, the old theater, where they have that sidewalk where there's all those little vendors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Him and his wife, Grace, are in there.
Yeah. All right. Check that out. I like it. What's the name of it?
Desert Olive Farms.
Oh, my wife would love that.
And they have an olive bar where you try all the different olives, balsamic vinegars. He discusses how they're made and why, you know, and why they're spared to anything you're going to buy in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Interesting.
So I'm a good salesman, which means I'm easily sold. So I bought a lot.
Salesmen love you.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's get back to the economy here.
Okay.
Well, I was just helping the economy. That's what I was
talking about. You were. That was a great conversation. Man. So Carson thinks that there's the economy is going to do well. They have three reasons why the underlying economy will stay strong.
Tell me.
It has been and likely to stay this way. So, Russ, you can disagree again here.
No, I won't necessarily.
You think the economy is going to stay strong? Okay, incomes are growing faster than inflation. People don't think that's true. Inflation's at 4.1. People's disposable income grew an annual pace of 5%.
I would be hard pressed to believe that, but maybe someone's catching up from when inflation was 9.
Yeah,
maybe lagging.
It's 4. They're saying inflation is 4.1 right
now today, but the 5 may be because at the end of the 9 year they gave some people some raises. Or
yeah,
mm-hmm. but
yeah,
possible.
That's one reason.
But I don't see it. But
this one was a little surprising for me because I hear this a lot. Household balance sheets are strong.
No, and we know that because we look at the credit card debt.
Right. So,
it's like 1.2 trillion or something.
Yeah. Okay. Rising stock prices and home prices have resulted in more wealth for American households.
True, but that's not wealth you spend. That's
wealth. Simply put, liabilities, debt as a percentage of disposable income is almost exactly where it was in 1999. We hear how people are flush with record debt, but simply is not true.
Okay, let me tell you.
While assets, wealth have soared, it's a big reason the saving rate has fallen.
Let me tell you why I disagree with that. A dollar in 1999 was worth about 60 cents now. So, yeah, maybe it's balanced. Maybe they have the same amount of dollars, but they don't have the same amount of wealth.
Okay, but that's always going to be the case. Inflation, what's inflation
historically? Well, but when they say it's the same as 1999, that doesn't help us, especially when we passed all these inflation numbers.
Oh, yeah, but they account for inflation when
they do that. We should have at least the same amount of dollars adjusted for the inflation. So in 1999, we should have 1999 dollars, which would be every dollar would be like $1.40 or $1.30, whatever that is. We're just even, so we're back. We're down 30%.
Okay. See, I knew you'd agree with that one. All right.
But they're also factoring in that wages have grown.
Wages have grown recently. Yeah. They didn't grow during the 10%. Everyone was taking big cuts. Like, you know, groceries going up 20%, and you don't get a pay raise. You took a 20% in that area, but that's not everything. But when you look at housing prices, rental prices, insurance went up in this state 24% 1 year, and now it's going up high again this year. You know, all these are hitting us in the 20s.
Yep.
And they say inflation's 4. You're checking the wrong stuff.
And these are not going to – that's a reset. Prices are up 12%. They're not coming back down.
And then we have the same wealth that we did in 1999 or whatever it was. Big deal. A dollar from then should be $1.30, so we should have a 30% growth in our numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't because we've been borrowing money. We've been taking money out of savings. And we can check those numbers real quick. Savings are way down. Credit cards are way up. People are paying high interest rates, and we're struggling.
They're comparing the wealth due to the housing prices.
Okay,
so
when you look at that.
That's how they're comparing.
Because now my house from 1999 was $200,000. Now it's $280,000. So, I grew $80,000. Let's see you eat that for lunch.
Yeah. Third one, Russ. The labor market is strong.
Sorry.
Payroll growth has averaged 284,000 a month in the last 5 months. So, and unemployment rate remains below 4%. So they think that third reason is the labor market is strong. Here's what's important to keep in mind. Consider spending makes up 70% of the U.S. economy.
Yeah.
Right? Consumer spending. And right now, consumer spending is running strong thanks to strong labor markets and higher net worth, which we just talked about.
It is strong, and people haven't adjusted. That's why the credit cards are going. I mean, we're setting ourselves up for a fall And that's why I don't believe stepping outside recession, because everything I see when we have more bankruptcies than we really escalating bankruptcies. I don't know the numbers. Small businesses going under. We've got credit cards that are $1.2 trillion now. And we've got savings that are way down from where they were. And you say, yeah, it's great because my house is worth $80,000 more. So I got money. No, you don't.
But you do have more wealth. All right.
It's good for your inheritance to your kids.
Leading economic indicators are pointing to a strong economy. This is kind of neat. This is unique to Carson, because we have Carson has 10 CFAs, certified financial analysts.
Yeah,
and that's what they do. They're economists. They look at the economy. They look at what different sectors they think are going to be going when they run our strategies for us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot smarter than me, and a lot more time to do that. So they'll sit there and they'll just be like, okay, you know what? We want to move from large growth to large value. We think that we need to extend the term on bonds. So they're running these different strategies for us, and they have this what they call a Carson Leading Economic Indicator, LEI, and it's for the U.S. and 28 different countries. But they include consumer-related indicators, housing indicators, business and manufacturing activity, consumer sentiment, and then financial markets. So they have a different 20 different indicators that they look at. Mm-hmm. You hear different money managers what they look at and use their tools, Tim. But I thought that was pretty interesting that they have their own Carson LDI, which is, And then back in March 2020 and 2022, people were thinking there was going to be a recession. But according to Carson's leading indicators, they said no.
Correct.
And so they were leaning more towards equities, and it paid off.
Yep.
So,
what panned out.
So. Yeah, it did. So it's pretty neat that they have their own leading indicator, and I think that's pretty interesting. So.
Yeah, they use that as kind of their own algorithm.
Yeah, and everyone has different algorithms, mm-hmm. but that way you have multifaceted, and you're looking at different parts of the economy and not just getting too, focused out there. So.
Correct.
Russ,
yes.
One more break, my friend.
You want to go?
Yep, let's do
All
it.
All right, we'll do it.
Money Talk, 560 KBLU. We'll be right back.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This is Derek Hegeberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio,
Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Welcome back, everybody. Money Talk.
You're not going to sing us in like George?
Oh, no. Well, if I had the good voice for it.
There you go.
You know. But yes, Russ, you are on the ball this morning.
He's got the summer tone. What's the deep boy? The late night DJ voice.
That's right. Late night DJ voice. Welcome back. This is Tim Avila, financial advisor, Yuma Investment Group, here with George Davis, senior wealth advisor. George, you're talking about the economy and Carson's mid-year outlook.
Yep, mid-year outlook, eyes on the prize. We're having a good time out here today, Russ.
That's what we're supposed to do.
We're supposed to be
well, good.
Yeah.
We're mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Serious business. We have a good time doing it.
Yeah, we do.
That's right.
So I already mentioned I won't get too much into it, but the next move they think that the Feds are going to make is going to be an interest rate cut. Because some people are talking about inflation still, which is sticky, but
yeah.
Carson and our group doesn't feel like we're going to have an interest rate rise. So there's going to be two this year, which we tend to agree with. So
think it's premature, but that's okay.
Yeah. So the bull market's alive and well, double-digit gains so far this year. And what I thought was interesting is at the beginning of the year when they first did the outlook, Carson Wealth Management, they were expecting the S&P to have a good year between 11 and 13%. And now at this point, halfway through, they're going to reevaluate and they're raising their price target to 17 to 20 for the S&P 500.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Inflation continued to come down. The other one is something that may surprise investors. The bull market's actually quite young relative historically. You get a talk like now, like things are too frothy and, this is, it has to come down. We're going to have a recession, whatever. But the past 12 bull markets going back to World War II has averaged a length more than 5 years, 61 months. And this bull market is 20 months old. So they still think it has some legs to it. Now, if you can average 61
Correct.
Months and now we're at 20. So things, another thing to think about there. All right. How about corporate profits expected to hit an all-time high? Let's take a look at the. Let's see here. Interest rates are talking about. I already touched on that. I wanted to get into where to invest because we talked a little bit about that, Tim. We believe investors should remain overweight stocks relative to bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a little bit. Cautious on the old traditional 60-40, balanced allocation.
Right.
Making sure you're adding some of those areas like we talked about with commodities and other, maybe even some real estate, some other investments that aren't just your traditional 60-40 allocation. So a dynamic standpoint. And valuations are historically cheap for small caps relative to large. Okay. And with value compared to growth. So, all right. So the overall stance of the economy is strong. They also like industrials and financials. Yeah. So there's
banks,
a couple areas.
Finance institutions.
Right. All right. I'm going to get into the election part because that's a lot of people like that. You get a lot of questions about how the election. We got to get Russ fired back up again. He's on his phone.
That's right.
Peaked up again. So, so far this year is playing out like other election years under the first-term president with nice gains. Let's see. Can take a look and see why. Many don't like President Biden, and stocks have once done well. History has shown that this time and time again, what happens in November can't stress enough to determine the broad market will do. Starting with President Eisenhower in 1953. Okay, so going way back. If you invested $1,000 in the S&P 500 and only invested under Republican presidents, you'd have $30,000 today. If you did the same thing, but only for Democratic presidents, you'd have $60,000.
Wow.
But if you stayed invested without only picking Republican
Either
or Democrat,
side.
You'd have $1.7 million. So
there
instead of just trying to guess, oh, I'm only going to invest when they're Republican, so.
Stay the course.
Stay the course, that's right.
Stay the course.
Eye on the prize.
This is a marathon, not a sprint.
All right, so historically, stocks have done a little better when a president was Democrat, but the flip side is stocks have done better when Republicans have controlled both chambers of Congress than when Democrats have. One of the better scenarios for investors is a split Congress. What markets don't like is too much power with any party. So think of a red or blue wave. Checks and balances are important, and a split Congress has a dynamic built right into it.
Yep.
Okay, Democrats have 51-49 in the House. Republicans have a 217 in I'm sorry, in the Senate, 217, 213 in the House for the Republicans. So this means the focus can be on the country really needs. Infrastructure, which was the CHIPS Act. And so who doesn't want, you know, the tech sector to do better and infrastructure to do better? So both the House and the Senate come together, vote for that. That's the type of thing that the market really likes. So that's good. It also talks about deficit spending. Is not going to go away, no matter who's in office. Say it, but
unfortunately,
not anytime soon.
They don't see that going away at all either. So, all right, what do you want to talk about now? We've got about 4 minutes left. You want to talk about bonds, or that's kind of the real fun stuff now, Tim?
Oh boy,
we'll talk about Bitcoin. You know.
So
at least the outlook for bonds, you know, is improved. I mean, if they are starting to do the rate cuts and they're speculating September, October could be the time, you know, as those rates come down, then bonds have a better chance of now making some money and traditional returns.
I forgot that the aggregate bond market was up 5% last year, but this year it's down a couple percent. So, with the interest rates staying the same. Rates come down, bonds traditionally will do a little bit, will do well.
Right.
So they see the bond market as moderating or, you know, doing fairly well, but that's why they're still more heavily weighted on the stock side
and
of things.
And equities.
As opposed to the bond market. But don't forget about bonds. You know, right now,
that's right.
With the one thing that we're seeing as far as interest-bearing funds like money markets and CDs are, you know, 4.5, 5, north of 5%. And we haven't seen that in what, 80 years? I don't know how long it's been, but
decades.
Not 80 years, but decades since.
Yeah. And that's what's propping up the financials, is they're able to offer these high rate CDs and things, and they're making money as well.
Yeah. And people on fixed income finally can get into some real secure fixed income assets. And get a good interest rate. Now, when they start to lower rates, those are going to come down.
Those are going to come down.
So rates come down, the bond valuations or prices go up. So that's, you got to pay attention to that. That's why you want to be diversified, because those bonds will make up for it with you know, increased valuations. So, all right. So this was the Carson Mid-Year Outlook 2024, Eyes on the Prize.
You got 30 seconds.
From
man.
Investment Research. So 928-329-1700, yumainvestmentgroup.com. Send us your email. But this is really a good read, this Mid-Year Outlook 24. Goes into a lot of detail. I know Russ is going to get on. I'm just going to leave this copy for Russ.
All right.
Because he did such a great job with the music today.
He did.
He's
awesome today.
I love, he got a little red in the face.
I like
talked about
these,
a couple things.
These
I appreciate
boys,
it.
That's great. You got to run, man.
Have a great weekend. Money Talk
right.
856. Thank you, Tim,
Take
for coming
care,
on.
Everybody. Yes, my pleasure.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.